Being a cop has never been easy, but it's gotten harder, tougher, and more dangerous, without question. We're going to talk to a guy who knows a lot about that. He's the executive director of the Detroit Crime Commission. He's the former head of the FBI in Detroit. He is Andy Arena. Andy, it is always a pleasure and a privilege to welcome you to the program.
Hey, Paul, it's been a while. Thanks for having me on.
It has been a while because, well, we figured you only liked to come on when you had to get up at an ungodly hour in the morning.
anything for you, my friend.
We promise it won't be like that, and you won't be a stranger around here. I'm sorry, it's about a horrific story, though, in that four officers killed in a shooting while attempting to serve a warrant at a home in Charlotte, North Carolina. A total of 8 law enforcement officers shot during the incident. It is one of the worst stories ever with this many fatalities.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, in my lifetime, in my career in law enforcement, this is probably the darkest day. I mean, for the law enforcement community across the country, you know, when you leave your house every day to go to the job, you know the dangers out there. But I mean, this obviously certainly really drives it home. And I think as you mentioned, Paul, it's so much different. I mean, policing and law enforcement is such a different profession from when I started, you know, all those years, 37 years ago. And I don't know. It's hard for me when young people come to me and talk about the profession. You know, it's hard to recommend it because I just know what they're in for. The safety issues, and then we see what's going on college campuses. The disrespect that law enforcement officers are getting. It's real. You have to have a calling, I think, to go to law enforcement today.
Well, you do, and you know that's a very good point. Andy Arena with us. The disrespect these students have no trouble showing these officers on the college campuses is unlike anything I could have ever dreamed of. The way they engage and fight these police officers, I never would have dreamed of back when I was in college. I mean, it wasn't done. And yet these kids do it with utter abandon as if they know they're not going to get in any trouble. It reminds me of the New York police officers wrestled to the ground by illegals and getting kicked and punched, and they didn't pull out their service revolver and protect themselves for fear of what would happen to them. That's how screwed up things are in our society right now.
Well, Paul, I was watching a video last night on social media, police officers at UCLA, and the guy's wielding a sword like he's King Arthur. I mean, this guy's got that type of a broadsword. And an officer pulls his weapon. I don't know if it was his service weapon or taser, but doesn't point it. Pulls it out of the holster, orders the guy to drop it. And a protester, of course, is videotaping this with his iPhone, and he's yelling at the police officer, calling him an effing pig, and just screaming and screaming. The officer just kept his composure, right? And then I get up this morning and see and a guy keeps saying, that's not a weapon, it's just a sword. Well, then we saw what happened in London, right? An official with a sword killed a 14-year-old. So it is a weapon.
Of course.
Show a little respect and stay out of the way and let them do their job. They weren't beating the guy. They're looking for issues, Paul. They're looking to get famous. They're looking to antagonize. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what our society's come to.
I don't either. Andy Arena, executive director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former head of the FBI in Detroit. I mentioned earlier that seemingly two of the most dangerous calls you can get in any area of law enforcement is a domestic violence. And that's because when you go there and you're there to help and protect the person who's getting beaten, that person often turns on the officers with the other person who was beating them, because then all of a sudden the officer becomes the bad guy, which is so bizarre and makes it very dangerous. But it seems to me, too, Andy, that serving warrants when you're going to somebody's house, when we know they have guns and maybe other friends there with guns, I'm not certain we should be going to houses to serve warrants. Wouldn't it be worth putting someone on to tail this person and to grab them when they're away from the house, when we have a better odds of not getting shot at by other people in the house?
Well, Paul, you know, the first point, you're exactly right. The domestic disturbances are the worst, right? And so you're walking in, you don't know what you have, and passion, right? There's a lot of passion and emotion, and then they can easily turn that on a police officer. So it's certainly a dangerous situation. Serving warrants is also one of the more dangerous aspects of law enforcement, particularly like that this case in
Charlotte.
Charlotte, as well as, you know, we just had one on Belle Isle yesterday. They were attempting to apprehend a parole absconder. And so when you're walking into the situation where you've got a violent felon who in this case, in Charlotte, they believe he had weapons, you know, you have to look at all of the possible scenarios and situations to arrest the guy for your safety and for the safety of citizens, right? So when I was with the FBI, we put a lot of planning into when we executed a search warrant. You know, you wanted the lay of the land, like what does the house look like? What do the grounds look like? What is this guy's background? Does he have access to weapons? Are there other potential ways to arrest them? You know, car stops, that's different. Now you're giving them a 4,000-pound weapon to ram people with, right? You're getting them outside the house in the general area. Now other people may get, you know, in the way of.
Yeah, that's true. So that's true.
It's yeah, but you just have to think. You're not wrong, Paul. You just there may be a better scenario. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes taking them down at the house is the best for safety. But there's just, you know, there are levels of safety, and obviously this was a situation which was ended up being very unsafe, and you know, just a tragic day.
When you read the stories of each individual and the in this case wives and children that are left behind, it makes me happy that we in Detroit started the 100 Club, and William Packer's grandfather who started it, and now it's all over the country, where, because as you said, Andy, an officer goes out every day, he doesn't want to think of this all the time, but it's crossed his mind he may not be coming back at the end of the day. And sadly that does happen, and when it does, the 100 Club is there to give them, the remaining spouse and family, money, because frankly, if you have car payments or house payments, They don't really care that your husband or wife was just killed. They want their payment, and that's what the 100 Club will do. Hey, very quickly, how bad? It could have been pretty bad when the Wayne County deputies had to go to Belle Isle to pick up a guy who had a tether on his ankle, and he raised a gun to them, which is pretty stupid, and they shot him. But we didn't have any deputies hurt, did we?
I don't believe so. And yeah, that just amplifies the issue, right? The safety issue. They went out there to pick this guy up, and it turns into a shooting. You just never know, Paul.
You never know, which is why I thank officers whenever I see them. I always thank them for working. Luckily, it's usually at great events like the Ford fireworks or the America's Thanksgiving parade presented by Gardner White, whatever it might be. I thank those officers. I never pass the opportunity to thank them for working, especially on a holiday. Andy, thanks for everything you do and that you continue to help us, and you will not be a stranger around here, I promise.
Well, I thank you, Paul, and I'm glad you thanked God. I wish more people did. Thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Andy Arena, Executive Director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former head of the FBI in Detroit, as we continue In Focus on WJR.